y'all. Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 546, I'm welcoming to the show Cody Kimmel.
When you look at popular culture, I think there's this weird myth that becoming a parent is somehow this like giant death to yourself. Death to joy, death to your future, death to happiness,
your freedom,
of those things.
Yeah.
And sure, like there is, and you know, there is a death in all of this stuff. So it's not every part of that is wrong. But I think what's missing that is this incredible beauty and delight that comes with parenthood. And the fact that it can be so filled with joy and laughter and play. And so one of the things we're trying to do is focus a little bit on that. It's like, what does play look like? Why is play connected to grace? What is a life dedicated to delight?
Cody is a father of four kids. He's the executive director of Grace-Based Families, a ministry committed to encouraging, educating, and equipping families for every age and stage. Cody's served as a pastor, professor, entrepreneur, and he hosts multiple podcasts, one that we're going to talk about today called Light Catchers. He's a writer, speaker, and musician, and I love this conversation today to figure out what is grace-based parenting and what is it not, and what is one way we can connect with our kids through play. So let's get right to it. Here we go. Cody, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Well, hey, Heather, it's good to be here.
Oh, my stars almighty. I mean, back in the day when I was raising four little babies and I did not know what I was doing and I thought I'd just copy what my parents did and it was not going well and I was not happy and everybody's miserable, I grabbed a copy of your dad's book. And I've not told you this yet. And I was like, what the what? There is another way to be a Christian and a parent and for me to feel more in line with my faith and to keep relationship with my kids. And I don't know, it felt like the best gift, but also it was, I could tell you there was a lot of tension in me. Like I would try to implement grace-based parenting. That's what I'm talking about, y'all.
Yeah.
And then I would feel like, no, this is wrong. I should tell them that's wrong and you're wrong and I should correct all the time. So tell your dad thanks
for writing the book. I'll pass it along.
Pass it along, Dr. Tim Kimmel. And you are a product of this grace-based parenting.
I am. For better or worse, I am a product of this. Yeah. Yeah. No, what's really interesting, one of the encouraging things that I, as both the son and now in kind of the role that I am with
executive director.
My dad started as the executive director.
I will plug it for you.
Yes. I hear stories like yours all the time. And it's, to me, so encouraging. Even people that have either come onto the team or, honestly, just all over the place of this moment where they were at their wit's end. They wanted something different. They didn't realize that there was a different way to parent than either how they were raised in the church or their background, all that stuff. And they discovered that book and they discovered this new way of looking at parenthood and their role as a parent. And it just, it flipped the script for them. But at the same time, like you said, it's not easy. there is a tension in us where you're like, this feels wrong almost, or this maybe doesn't feel like the most natural thing. So I've heard
similar testimony.
Similar testimony. And really kind of in my own life, I got to see it lived out and, I am fortunately the byproduct of somebody who taught something in public and also lived it at home. Mm. And I don't take that for granted. I don't take that lightly because I know that's not always the case in these scenarios, but I know coming into my adulthood as a parent, I had a leg up, not because of anything that I was or any special skill that I had, but because I was raised in a home that not only taught grace and thought about grace, but lived it out at home. So it was, that's my testimony with it. I I would not be the person I am today had I not grown up in grace. I would not be the parent that I am today without that. So,
well, and for the person who maybe like this is, they're like, what are the heck are you talking about? Grace-based parenting. What the heck is this? Would you, do you have like your elevator pitch?
Oh, I've got the elevator pitch.
Okay.
So grace-based parenting is simply treating our kids the way God treats his. And as you look through the Bible, you know, God is filled with love, God is filled with mercy, God is filled with truth, God is filled with all of these wonderful things. But if you look at kind of the way he does this with his children and the way he parents his kids throughout the whole Bible, the consistent operating principle is this idea of grace, that grace is something that is given, not earned. So we are his children, not because we deserve to be his children so much as because he has called us into his family and he keeps us in his family because of that grace. He's bringing us along towards a certain end because of his love and because of his grace. And even in the discipline that he has for us, it is done with the intention of our good in the long term and done in the context of this grace-based relationship, that there's nothing that we can do to earn God's love or to lose God's love. There's nothing that we can do to push him away or to even draw him closer in. That is his gift to give to us. And what grace-based parenting is simply applying that principle to our role as parents with our kids. And we have a whole thing we call the grace-based blueprint, which kind of walks through all these steps, the steps of the house and what that looks like. You can find all of that more on gracebase.com and learn more about that. But that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah. And that concept, I remember once I heard it and I would use that phrase with my kids in a moment of stress or where they'd done something. I'm like, there's nothing you can do to make me love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make me love you less. Mm-hmm. I would say the words, but I'm curious, like if they felt that.
You know? Yeah, right.
Like I can say the message, but am I actually communicating unconditional love? Because I think sometimes they're like, no, I can't tell you that because you won't love me anymore. And I'm like, well, I'm so sorry you've gotten that message. You know?
Yeah. I'm trying. I mean, and you know, it's interesting. I think one of the things that I've found has to be true in the midst of that is the ability to give grace to ourselves as parents in the midst of it. In fact, if there's one of the most eye-opening parts of the whole thing is, yes, obviously, it's how do we give grace to our kids? How do we walk alongside them in a gracious way through the different stages of life? But so much of that starts with giving grace to ourselves and knowing like we're not going to do it right. We're going to say things that are the right things, and it's going to be really hard to feel them in the moment. And we're probably going to have to come back a lot of times to our kids and say, hey, I really do mean this. And I'm sorry you didn't feel that earlier. And let's talk about that. And that's kind of, to me, that's the beauty of grace in general, is it's not just how we treat our kids, but how God treats us and how we understand our relationship with him in the midst of that. And so, I mean, there's been so many moments where like, I'm like, I literally was raised with this. I know the right words. I know all the tactics. I know this so well, but I am not living it out, or I'm just kind of giving lip service to it. And you have to go back. And the good news is there's even grace for that. You know, that's happening in the context of grace as well.
That they know that you're trying, right?
Yeah, they know what they're trying. You know, it's funny. There's few places in the world where people are more excited and for your success than your kids for you as a parent. And how, what I have found is how quickly forgiveness and reconciliation can happen in the context of that. And I know that it can be hard and all that stuff, but I have found my kids are very quick to forgive me. They're very quick to see the better side of me and work through that stuff when there's this effort of at least humility and understanding and, hey, we're trying this too. We're learning through this. There's very few scenarios in the world where people are more for your success than your kids are for you. And so that's something that I try to remind myself of when I'm in those low moments of like, well, mess this up. This kid's going to need therapy the rest of their life type thing. You know, and they might.
We're all going to need it. It's how much and how long. This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Little Spoon. Having four boys when they were all younger, feeding them was a full-time job, and often I would be out in public without a snack on hand, and the hangry meltdowns were real. Showing grace was hard. But if I'd had Little Spoon, which is a great company that provides and delivers to your home real food for babies, toddlers, and big kids, the snack time, the meal time would have felt so much easier. Some really fun options. They have this thing called Lunchers. Think like their own little meal pack. There's one called the Chicken Dunkers Luncher, which is super fun. I saw one that I know my boys would love called the Easy Cheesy Pizza. So it comes with the cheese and the marinara sauce and the flatbread and even a little chocolate candy that you could throw in their lunch or their little Mother's Day out or have on the go if you need something. I also love all their snacks. They have veggie loops, which, you know, you can maybe hear me. A little crunchable snack. Also Dipsters, which I think is fun. It's pretzels that you could dip in a confetti cake dip. And Fruit Rippers would have been a huge hit with my boys. They have Mighty Mango and Strawberry Smash. They have smoothies and pouches. So many options. You have got to check them out because all their recipes are made with pediatricians. So they're packed with hidden veggies. And don't tell them. And everything's made with real ingredients. No artificial flavors, sweeteners, or dye. It's a rare combo to be convenient and healthy. Little Spoon is the first baby and toddler food company to set strict, publicly available standards for heavy metals, pesticides, and more in their food for peace of mind. And here's the really exciting part. Little Spoon is now in Target. So on your next diaper run or obligatory candle sniff, guilty over here. You can also grab baby and kid snacks, pouches, yogurt smoothies, and bars. Plus, Target has an exclusive frozen line. So you can get the cult favorite chicken nuggets, meatball sliders, find them in the snack and freezer aisles. We are obsessed. Little Spoon is a mealtime hack parents can't stop talking about. Try their no prep, nutrient packed meals and snacks for babies, toddlers, and big kids. Get 50% off, 50 off your first online order at littlespoon.com/DMA with the code DMA at checkout. That's littlespoon, littlespoon.com/DMA. Don't forget to use our show's code for 50% off your first order. What was interesting about your definition of the grace-based parenting is, you know, you mentioned the truth of God's. He has the love, but he also has the truth. And you said, and he still mm-hmm. disciplines. And I think I've, over the years, you know, I've heard critiques of all the mm-hmm. movements, right? Like,
yep.
you know, there was the extreme and the consequences and the spankings and all that. And then yep. we swung to the grace-based and then people were like, well, no, it can't be willy-nilly. And they just get away with everything. And we're like,
right.
love unconditionally. And then now the, you know, more secular version is the mm-hmm. gentle parenting.
Yep.
And then there's just new versions coming out. It feels like even more frequently.
Oh, yeah.
A new version coming out. So how do you respond like when people assume that grace-based means permissive parenting?
Right. Totally. I love that question because it kind of forces a better definition of both because yeah. I'm holding this that grace and discipline are not in conflict, that grace and discipline are, in fact, kind of part and parcel of the same thing, but they seem in conflict, which kind of forces us to actually ask the question better of what do we mean by grace and what do we mean by discipline? And to me, where I see them both come together is that the goal for both is the same. The goal in grace-based parenting is to ultimately join like God's work in our kids' lives on his terms and in his way towards his end. You know, God wants our kids to become fully alive in him. And the goal of grace-based parenting is that we would walk alongside that work with our kids towards that end. So our goal is as we're parenting them, you know, even into adulthood, but especially when they're under our roofs, is we're trying to launch them out fully alive in God, fully realized of who they are and what God is in their life. I would say that's the same goal of discipline. And so you can't really do grace without discipline. And I think where the mistake can happen is there are certain things that I think are contrary to grace. You know, I think this idea, the idea of punishment, I think, you know, if you understand grace, God never is punishing his kids. He's already brought that punishment upon himself. That's the whole point of it, is that we do not have to experience the punishment of sin because God took that on himself.
Well, it's almost like are you an Old Testament Christian or a New Testament Christian?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like the punishment mindset people I meet are still in the Ten Commandments law sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
What Romans talks about, like the flesh and the law, it's like instead of grace and the spirit. So it's like, have you embraced that the punishment concept was an Old Testament concept?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Okay, I mean,
so if Christ has taken that for us, what's the mindset then, now? Yeah,
exactly. And so I look at that and I think, you know, there is a form of, I guess, in the broader definition of discipline that is contrary to grace-based parenting. But the idea of discipline being contrary to it, or thinking that grace means permissiveness, is, I think, a misunderstanding of both. Because discipline is really like my desire for my kids to come into the world prepared, to understand the realities of the world, to be able to handle the world on their own without my help, without my intervention. And ultimately to experience the joy that God has for them. That to me is the goal of discipline. And so in some way, like I will even talk about it, like parenting is discipline. Like there's an element of it to where we're always constantly disciplining our kids towards a better end in the same way that God is sanctifying us, that God is bringing that about. And so to me, where I find the connection between the two is that the goal is the same. You know, the goal from grace-based parenting and the goal of discipline is the same. So you really can't, I think, do one without the other. And really, that's kind of how it works with God. Like, on the one hand, like, we are brought into his family. We are secure in that love and secure in that relationship. But that does not mean that God does not discipline us. And he disciplines us because he loves us. He disciplines us because he knows that there's a better way that we can be experiencing the world. There's a better way that we can be experiencing him. And he wants that for us. And so he's willing to do the hard work in the moment to discipline us towards that. And so that to me is kind of how that balances out. But I also get it. You know, I think that, and that's what I love about that, even that idea is like, how do you force a better answer out of that?
Well, and that word, I know for people, they hear discipline, they get so triggered if their own experience was super harsh and and discipline equaled pain or maybe even some abuse. And it's like, it may be even hard to open your mind to considering discipline being anything, like it being anything different, that it being, it's like a directional or it's a boundary or it's a repointing on the right path. Like that concept could be completely foreign to someone who never experienced it that way. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and to that point, I mean, I think there's other words that you can use to maybe better associate it with, you know, coaching. Even like, I think people think in a business world, you know, a lot of people that are at work, like it means like, how do you create clear communication, clear boundaries, clear goals? How do you come alongside people, make sure they're set up for success, train where you need to train, push back where you need to push back, and encourage where you need to encourage. Like we actually have a framework for a discipline that actually works alongside grace. But I think because it is so oftentimes can be connected to punishment or some negative form that really is unhealthy, that really is toxic, that we kind of shun it all together and think, okay, I don't want to discipline because I don't want to be disciplined like I was disciplined, which is also not helpful for kids.
Yeah. Long-term. Yeah. Okay. In my brain, I'm thinking two ways. One, I'm thinking, is there any story that comes to mind, like for people to hear this practically laid out, where you remember your parents using grace-based parenting and it caught you like off guard in a good way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll start there.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's what's really interesting is this is actually a story that my dad has used in one of his books.
Okay, and I might have read
it. He's telling it from his perspective.
Is it related to your hair?
Yeah, no, well, yeah.
I feel like I've heard about hair, your hair.
My hair went on a journey in high school. And to be fair, none of it looked good. None of it worked.
It's very conservative right now. No.
Look, my hair is very normal now. It didn't look good. It was not a good journey for me. I remember it was my senior year. The Diamondbacks had won the World Series the year before. My friend had tickets to go to opening game and I wanted to go. But to do that, I would have had to skip school to do this. And in my, I don't remember which book it is in, but my dad tells the story where I ask him, and he initially says, no, you know, you can't skip school. You know, this is your job. He kind of puts that hard line down there. And I don't know if it was because I was a senior, or I think some of it is because I'd been trained in grace and I felt comfortable talking, pushing back on that a little bit. You know, I just said,
what's the phrase that your dad would?
Freedom to be candid.
Freedom to be candid. That's
yeah.
Right.
So, so I pushed back on him, and the way he tells the story was like, you know, I said very respectfully, you know, I get good grades. I have worked really hard. I do all this stuff. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. I really think you're wrong in this scenario. And then he changes the script, says, you know, I was wrong. He apologizes and goes forward. And that's kind of an example he gives. What's really interesting from my perspective, I don't think I was being as respectful in my pushback as his memory serves him. And, you know, I think that I was probably a bit snarky. I was probably a bit short. I was frustrated, and maybe rightfully so. Maybe there was,
and
I think
full
there
of
probably
hormones.
Was validity to it, but.
I have a senior boy full of hormones and ready to be out of the house, ready to be.
The whole idea of nuancing conversation as a teenage boy, it doesn't like there's no nuance to that.
No.
And, but you know, like in the end, even though I probably did not handle it with the level of maturity he has recorded for all of time in the thing, in his books, it was a moment that stood out to me because I do remember that, even before he wrote it in the book, I do remember that as this moment where I could come to my dad with my frustrations and not be afraid that he's just going to shut me down because he's my dad, you know, that I could talk to him about that stuff and that there was room for that. And I remember that all the time now when I come into my own parenthood. You know, I've got four kids, three of whom are boys, one's a little girl. My oldest is 15, where, I mean, and I'm essentially raising myself, which is really hard as it turns out.
Yeah.
And having all of these moments where I don't think if it had been modeled differently, I would have tried to hold a hard line where I shouldn't have. And I would have pushed back on things that I probably shouldn't push back on. And I was able to have patience in those moments when my kids have been saying true things, maybe not the right way, but true things about myself. And, you know, I don't think had I had that growing up, I would have had that as an adult. And it's not because of me. It's, you know, this grace moment where God kind of comes in and just is able to supernaturally quiet my first instinct of response in these moments, help me take a step back, take a breath, and remember that, you know, my kids aren't good at being adults yet. They're not great at nuancing conversation. Maybe they're not fully understanding how to be fully respectful in that, but that doesn't mean that they're wrong necessarily, you know? And if they don't have that outlet towards me, then I can't, that's worse, you know?
So it does sound like a lot of grace-based parenting is us getting ourselves aligned with the ultimate long view of parenting with God. Like with God's goal of who they're becoming, not our goal and our idolization of some outcome, not our looking good because they're performing well,
right?
Like them behaving, them doing all the things that make us look good, keeping their hair looking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So we look great. Seems like that's a lot of hard work on our end. I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
let me throw this scenario at you. Let's say we do have the non-nuanced, talking back teenager who's like I'm maybe giving some thoughts on how he eats. Let's just pick a thing.
Yeah.
Like you need to eat food.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Eat food. Eat real food. Yeah.
Eat real food. Not even, yeah. So let's eat some food. And he's like, when are you going to stay out of my life? I'm doing this.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I didn't think that was all that obtrusive. Yeah.
I'm doing all this and this and this that you've asked me to do. Can you just leave me alone? Do you think it's okay to then say, I hear you, you are doing all those things good, and you can't speak to me like that?
Oh, 100%. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and I think so much of it, and especially, and I'm sure you know this with older kids, I think one of the only currencies we have with our kids as they get older is trust, you know? like a lot of the things that worked for younger kids just really won't work for older kids.
Yeah.
And I think in those moments, it is perfectly within reason to use those moments as a moment of correction. I think the challenge is that needs to be done from us, as hard as it is in those moments, modeled from a place of respect.
Yeah.
Even if they're not being respectful towards us, because let's face it, they're not respectful towards us all the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't respect us. It means that they're filled with hormones and immature, and their brain hasn't developed.
And anxiety sometimes.
And anxiety, all that stuff. So much of it has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Or really how they actually feel and believe. And so I totally think in those moments, you do that. You say, I hear you, all this stuff. You know, I would like you to speak more respectfully to me in those moments. This is how that could have looked. I love in those moments, like a quick redirect of, hey, I hear what you're saying. Let's try saying it like this, mm-hmm. like kind of using a redo and actually saying like, hey, let's try it a different way. And if they're still unresponsive and stuff like that, I found, and this is, so I've not raised a teenage girl, so I can't speak to that yet. For teenage boys, the longer you belabor something, pretty much the worse that conversation is going to get.
Like you gotta get out of there quick.
You got a quick exit. I think what you do is you say it in a respectful way towards them. They might receive it well. They might not receive it well, but don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
Move on.
It's just, you've set the boundary. Like, I feel like it's again this thing like.
Oh, totally.
It's not like you get to be however you are. You have to recognize it impacts people.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So you say that. And then later, when it's not charged, you can kind of come back to it. You know, I love kind of the how you come back to a conversation afterwards that maybe didn't go well. You can kind of reframe it and lean in with the humility of saying like, hey, I don't know if I handled everything in that moment well. I want to understand why you were so frustrated. So maybe start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And I have found actually some of that follow-up conversation after a moment like that can be some of the sweetest times of connecting with your teenager, particularly where you're asking them questions, they're understanding you. And look, they hear you more than you realize. And it saying that matters in the moment, even if it's not this aha moment that you're hoping it is with your kid.
The Voetberg Method approaches music differently. With by-ear training and song-based learning, your children will be begging to play their instruments more. Students are self-motivated by earning badges mailed to their doorstep, participating in monthly online student showcase, and seeing dozens of other students play with their siblings and friends in the Voetberg Music Academy community. At Voetberg Music Academy, you aren't on your own. Each student has 24/7 access to their instructor and receives personalized feedback on live coaching calls, which allows students to learn faster and easier. Use my code DON'TMOMALONE, and for less than $30, join thousands of other Christian families learning to play together with the leader of online music lessons, VoetbergMusicAcademy.com. And with new intermediate and advanced piano, ukulele, fiddle, and guitar courses, Voetberg Music Academy is your one-stop shop. From your family first unboxing your instruments to playing for worship, writing music, or playing in a family band, the Voetberg family loves playing music together, and they want to help you bring that gift of music into your home in an affordable, efficient, and family-centered way. This month, use my code DON'TMOMALONE to get 20% off each month you're subscribed. Get 20% off the proprietary Voetberg Method experience, where siblings can share lessons, learn music in a way they'll never forget, even when the lessons stop. As a mom, it can be tough finding creative and healthy ways to keep my boys entertained, especially with content that's safe, fun, and reflects God's heart. I know this has been true for my family. Screen time is a constant battle, and boredom is real. And there's so much entertainment out there that's not really good for my kids' hearts and minds. And that's why I'm so excited to share about Light Catchers. It's a new podcast of original stories created for children. It was made by an organization with over 40 years of helping moms and dads experience God's vision for parenting. Light Catchers is loved by children and parents alike, and it's perfect for parents looking for stories that explore topics like emotional intelligence, mental health, and hope. It's also a wonderful way to help grow your child's imagination, enjoy it in the car together, and even to give you a quick break. Listen now to Light Catchers wherever you get your podcasts and learn more at bealightcatcher.com. That's bealightcatcher.com. And I love how you said it's about trust. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, y'all sent me here. I'm going to hold it up, even though this isn't a video podcast, the Grace-Based Home Journal, which is really cool that y'all have an actual paper copy of something.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the Secret Life of Walter Mitty again, because I love that movie. Such a creative movie. And it's so good. Life Magazine going online, and it's such a tragedy. But I love that you have a paper magazine. I also love it. It says on the back, to play is to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about this building trust, talking about this playfulness that I think is a little bit at the heart of the grace-based kind concept. Because when I can get really doubled down and tight-fisted on, you aren't being good, godly boys and you need to behave and don't say poopy. And like, don't love that version of me. They don't love that version of me. No one's happy. It doesn't feel good. But when we're in a playful place, we can joke around, even with older boys, some of the things they say, I'm like, inappropriate, but I kind of keep it to myself sometimes, because it's like, I know it's like the poopy stage. It's going to pass. They're going to recognize this isn't actually funny, middle school humor. But I love that you're talking about play, and I love that you're creative and that you are adding this into the grace-based community. You have created something really cool for parents to connect with their kids. And so tell us about your vision, your new vision, your new endeavor.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, well, I'm so glad you brought up, first off, the Grace-Based Home Journal magazine. You know, I think one of the things we're hoping to do is not just come alongside parents and give them really practical resources of what it looks like to have grace in the moment, but I think to have a bigger vision of the goodness and beauty that God has for us as parents. I think, you know, when you look at popular culture, I think there's this weird myth that becoming a parent is somehow this like giant death to yourself. Death to joy, death to your future, death to happiness,
your freedom,
all of these, of those things.
Yeah.
And sure, like there is, and you know, there is a death in all of this stuff. So it's not every part of that is wrong. But I think what's missed in that is this incredible beauty and delight that comes with parenthood. And the fact that it can be so filled with joy and laughter and play. And so one of the things we're trying to do is focus a little bit on that. It's like, what is it? What does play look like? Why is play connected to grace? What is a life dedicated to delight? And I love the word delight, because I think it's so central to who God is. You know, I think my guess, and I have like little hints of it in the Gospels, I think Jesus was a really funny guy. I think people liked being around him. I think that people felt like there was a playfulness to him. There was a kindness to him, a lightness that he carried, even though he was also bearing the weight of the world. He never didn't, like, he took the brokenness of humanity fully seriously. There was a lightness in how he carried himself. And I think that lightness translates into how we parent our kids, that there is, I would say, one of the easiest ways that I connect with my kids, especially my older kids, is through play. Play with them. Do things that you delight in.
And what does play look like with teenagers?
Play. So it looks differently with each teenager. So like my older son, all my kids are very into music. My older son has gotten very, very into music. I'm a musician. So that's an easy point of connection. Like, talk about bands that he's liking. Learn some songs together.
And be okay if it's not a Christian band.
Totally. Be okay if it's not a Christian band. Look, good music is good music. And you can have those conversations with them about that. My second oldest, who's 13, he's really into running. So I run with him. We go do races together. We go do things like that. Like, lean into their things, bring them into your delight, bring them into things that you enjoy. It doesn't have to be extravagant. I think that's the big thing that we feel like. It could be just a goofy thing that you're doing like one of my things that my wife does really well is she loves like learning the stupid slang that kids are doing now.
Six, seven.
All that stuff. And so she'll like quiz them on it. She'll like try to use it in sentences. She'll try to do stuff like that. And it's silly, but it's a way to like get them laughing and get them connecting. And I think that's a true evidence of grace is connection. Mm. So anything that you're doing that's bringing about that connection, and play is one of those things, brings that about. And so that's kind of one of the broader things that we're trying to do as we expand on our resources. And within that, and I think this is what you were teeing up.
Yes.
We have launched a kind of our first really kids forward media thing called Light Catchers. And you just held up the Light Catchers magazine. So we also, along with our parent focused magazine, we have a kids focused magazine. And it is really, it started as a podcast. I would still say that's kind of the primary way of interacting with it. It is a storytelling podcast that is character driven. It's funny. It's silly. Hopefully, but it also kind of takes kids seriously and takes the reality of their world seriously and presents kind of this vision of what does grace look like lived out in real life in a really fun way that parents can connect with it, kids can connect with it. And it's been really, really fun to do.
And how many episodes are released? It's a season at a time.
I think by the time this comes out, I think all 8 episodes of the first season will be out. So the first season is, it follows a guy named Bob the Bad Pirate. Bob the Bad Pirate is not bad because he's evil or unkind. He's bad because he's really not good at being a pirate. He loves it and his crew loves him for it, but he is just very, very bad at being a pirate. And which is funny, and it's a funny premise. And I, as a storyteller and as a writer myself, that's what drives me as a fiction writer is find a interesting character, throw them into a funny scenario or a difficult scenario or whatever it is and see what happens. And so that's what it's really born out of. But what you find over time is that Bob is also this incredibly gracious person, you know, where he's bad at being a pirate. He's really good at, I think, a lot of the things that we should be valuing in life. And so your kids in this moment are starting to kind of experience what grace can feel like before they can even pinpoint, you know, the articulation of a definition of grace or other things like that. It's a screen-free resource that parents can use for that. And so it's been really fun to put that out there. And we have a magazine that goes along with it, which has been really fun. I mean, I remember growing up getting magazines as a kid and just sitting down for hours and doing that. And my kids have been doing that too with this. And so that's been really, really fun.
Awesome. Is it something like they just get their favorite podcast player up and they can get to it, or do they?
So you can get to it anywhere. Just search free. Light Catchers Podcast. It's free.
Look at that. Go y'all there. Bringing yeah, you free resources.
Free resources. We love free resources.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, he's adorable. I am fond of the pirate who is gracious because my childhood fave movie of all time, mm-hmm. as a Christmas present, my parents rented it from the rental store in VHS form.
Nice.
Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Do you watch this?
Oh, yeah. No, my high school performed Pirates of Penzance, so I saw it live.
As Linda Ronstadt.
I can't say it was the best performance of it, but...
Yeah, okay. Well, this movie has Linda Ronstadt, so it's like a little bit... The vocals might be better than your high school.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
But the whole concept of, like, do we let someone go because their nanny made a mistake and he's born on a leap day, and so even though he was supposed to be apprenticed to a pilot and not a pirate. There's just a lot of mishaps.
Oh, so many mishaps.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. No. So it's been really fun getting it out there and really seeing the response that, you know, at first people connect with the it's a funny story. Each episode has original music in it that was really fun. You know, I grew up, I'm a musician. I was a worship pastor for a long time, songwriter for a long time. And so, you know, I started writing these stories and I'm like, well, these people should be singing. That makes perfect sense. So we incorporated that. So it's really fun as you can actually go on Apple Music, Spotify, and listen to all the songs as they come out. And so it kind of builds this whole fun universe for the kids. But the hope and what we're seeing is behind that, it's more than just fun, you know? And I think that that's why we like the word play even more than fun. Like, yes, play can be fun, but what play does is it invites us into things that gives us a hopeful vision for kind of what God has is bigger. You know, all of Light Catchers, with the idea of the Light Catcher, even is kind of every kid is born a Light Catcher. We're all born with this image of God. And part of our job as parents is to help cultivate that over time. You know, well, we take the world seriously. We take the brokenness of the world seriously. We take our kids' experience of that brokenness seriously. But in the midst of that, God is calling our kids into this hopeful kingdom view. And that's what we hope for with this particular resource that we're releasing. And yeah, we're really excited. It's been fun. And I will say it's really fun making it. It's kind of an act of play for all of our team, you know, and we have a great team and they're working on all types of resources for parents and it's all fun, but there's kind of a special place in our hearts for this one because we get to kind of pretend like we're kids for a little bit.
Well, I remember, I mean, we had the actual tapes of different things that I would listen to on repeat. So I can only imagine like kids would really get into it and it becomes like a common family language that you can refer back to an episode. Tell me on your Light Catchers little icon, it's kind of like a robot guy.
He's a spaceman.
Spaceman? There's your little space vibe I got. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he's a space vibe robot guy. And it's this whole idea of it actually derived from a story that I wrote years ago about these kids born on a planet and the only way to get light is to go and actually harvest it from a field. And so that's actually where the idea came from. And so it was kind of, I love sci-fi growing up and still love sci-fi. So there's like this element of that within there. You know, so that's where it comes from.
I am such a fan because I always tell the boys, I would say as a family, our top three values are fun, but maybe we should change that to play. Creativity.
Fun is fine.
Fun is fun. Creativity and communication. And so we're always pointing out like, man, can the church just be the most creative? Can we just be the most creative? And yes. And so I love that you're taking your influences and you're creating something that is just inspiring other kids to do similar things. And I just think it's so incredibly cool. So thank you for making it. And I do. I see your delight in the production of it.
It's awesome. To me, it's fun. Like all of this stuff started, I would tell these stories to my kids. They were just bedtime stories. And I've done that, you know, my whole life. I love telling them stories. And, you know, oftentimes it's just to be silly or to wind them down. But what you find is you can kind of start to bring their experiences and the things that they're facing into story. And they'll capture it in a way that's different, you know? And so a lot of it started as just this delight in telling my kids stories. And then it's like, okay, well, how can we share this with more people? And how can we kind of build this out a little bit more? So
very cool. Y'all go check out the Light Catchers podcast. We have links to all of this, y'all, in the show notes. So many different books, resources, the Grace-based website with so much for y'all. You can even get Grace-based at your church. There's a starter kit if your church wants to do something with. I mean, sky's the limit. Y'all been around, what, 42 years?
We are here to help you.
42 years, is that right? Or is it more?
It's been
now?
Yeah, probably over 42 years. I mean, this has been an organization that's, you know, come alongside churches. You know, our goal is to help ordinary parents raise extraordinary kids. That's what we're all about. And so we do that by coming alongside parents. We do that by coming alongside churches and schools that are working alongside parents to do that. And we do that by now also coming alongside their kids and giving parents a resource that they can use with their kids, develop a common language, connect over in a playful way over something, but can launch into deeper conversations that kind of speak to our identity and who God made us to be, and what it's like to face challenges, what it's like to feel lonely or feel sad or feel all of these things, and how do we work together towards something that's beautiful. And that's what we're all about. That's what Grace Space is all about. That's why we launched Light Catchers. And like you said, you can go to grayspace.com. Find just about everything there. You can also go to bealightcatcher.com. That's the website connected to our podcast. And that's how, if you want one of the magazines, you go to bealightcatcher.com and you can find it through there.
I love it. Thank you so much for being with me, Cody. It has been a delight.
This is great, Heather. It has been a delight. And I will say this. I love your podcast. I'm so glad you're still doing it. Such an incredible resource for parents. I know I'm not a mom. but so I'm not necessarily your target.
Don't dad alone either.
But, okay. But yeah, nobody wants a dad alone. Nobody wants a parent alone. So I'm just so thankful for you and for the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. That's very kind. I hope that was an encouragement to you. As always, we have questions available for our podcast clubs. If you've been looking for an excuse to get together with other moms, maybe something you are on a plan in the new year, 2026, go check out on our website, heathermcfadden.com or don'tmomalone.com. There's podcast clubs. And what that is you basically just invite as many friends as you want. 2, 1, 7, 20. And you guys agree to listen to the episode that week, get together, and then talk about it. And some of the questions for this week's episode, would you say your parenting is more grace-based or more authoritarian? Oh, that's hard to say. Authoritative. Can you share a story where you went too far to one extreme or the other? How did you handle it when you did? Man, these are hard, right? Have you bought into the lie of modern parenting that says having kids is a death to joy and freedom? Are you able to play and delight in your kids? So much to think about from what Cody shared, and definitely check out their new podcast. I've already listened to a couple episodes on my own while I was cleaning the house and then with my 13-year-old on the drive home from school. And I think they're so creative, so clever. I think your kids are going to really love it. This first season is about Bob, the bad pirate. And it's not that he's bad because he's evil. It's bad because he's just not good at being a pirate. So definitely check that out. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you that you do parent us with grace, that your love is not dependent on our behavior. And yet you still give us boundaries and guidelines for our best. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we navigate parenthood, that we would release the need to have kids that make us look good, to have control that is really a false sense of control, and that you would help us to show the love and care that you provide to us, to our kids. I also do pray for that play and delight to return into our hearts and our minds, and that we don't become so consumed with doing quote unquote parenting right that we miss out on enjoying the journey. I pray, Lord, over each family represented, that you would come into their homes, that joy would be a fruit of their family dynamics, and that you would help us be aware of what is causing that to diminish and how we can help make it flourish. I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're a parent of teens, I know that can be hard. Like playing with little kids, that feels easier. Play for us was the other night on the couch, just looking at funny little videos. That's kind of the language of teens, is funny videos and just laughing together. I'd love to hear what play looks like for your family. I know there's those Instagram accounts where they're always doing silly games. I've tried that with my family and they said, did you see this on Instagram? It just didn't fit us. So what works for your family? What's play for your family? I'd love to hear that. Send me a message, DM or email. All right. I will see you back here next week. What do we have? Oh, we have a special guest, Catherine Schwarzenegger Pratt. Yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter and wife to Chris Pratt will be on the show next week. I'll see you there. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter to be with us. God in us, moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.